If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday night. It's a fun Tuesday night happening right here on Plum Love Foods Live. I apologize for Monday night happening, not happening this week's scheduling. Come on, I don't need to explain to you guys. You know, it's very rarely it happens, but this particular Monday night, I had to work. It's part of the business. That's what we do, right? You have to work sometimes. Sometimes schedules have to change. Time you get with your family, you know. So that's kind of what happened on Monday night. So we're here on Tuesday. Looking forward to it. Got a great show tonight, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys all for joining me. And, of course, thank you for all the downloads from last week, because, man, what an amazing week for downloads in this program. I'm not bragging, so to speak, but I am incredibly excited about it because it's just a tremendous amount of downloads. Oh, what's that music? Oh, I know what that music means. It's Best Around from The Karate Kid. That can only mean one thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined right now by the professional co-host extraordinaire, the one and only Mr. Dave Boredom. Dave, good morning. Good evening, sir.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was just talking a little bit about how the downloads went for this program last week for our roundtable, and, man, it's really amazing. I mean, we're getting – I mean, it's a lot. Like, I think the numbers are just changing. I'm not sure if it has to do with just promotional stuff or if it has more to do with the new platform and how many different places, because we're on Spotify now. We're on iHeartRadio now. I just had a conversation with what are they called? Westwood One.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It's crazy. People want to hear – my douchebaggery and your douchebaggery now.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe it's your co-host. I don't know.
No, it's not.
That's
nope.
Fair.
No, it's not at all. Not at all. But dude, I got a great show tonight. We're gonna be joined tonight by Scott Giambastiani, who is I met this gentleman at the Pro Start Nationals this year. A really nice guy, but he is a big wig in the food world with these guys. It's a giant tech company out in the Silicon Valley. It's really, really giant. You know, I'm not going to say what it is right off the bat, but, you know, here's the reason why we're not going to say what it is, Dave, just so you can get it. What happened is that having someone of this caliber on the program, they have a whole PR department, right? You know, those people who get in the way of shit.
Right.
I don't mean that totally. I had a PR girl for a long time. But to have someone like him on, being who he is and where he works, you have to get, you know, PR approval for that. Like, they have to approve everything before they can just do interviews. So, you know. Being such a nice guy and a good brother, you know, he came on the show tonight. I just can't say exactly where he works, but trust me, you'll figure it out very quickly. I think, right, Dave? Like, we'll be really cool about it. Or maybe you won't figure it out.
I mean, I'm sure they'll figure it out if they haven't figured it out by just that intro.
Well, how about this to make it way more fun, all right? Let's make a contest out of it. If you can tell me where you think Chef Scott works, DM me, right? Shoot me a DM on Instagram, and here's what we'll do. You DM me where you think he works. If you're right, I will pick one person, and we'll send him out a brand new chef knife from Ergo Chef. How about that? We'll put that in the mail for you this week, if you can tell me who it is. So if you can tell me where Chef Scott works, I'll send you out a brand new knife. That's kind of fun, right, Dave?
That's pretty awesome. Can I guess?
No. No, you don't get to play. What are you talking about? Absolutely not. I mean, damn, that's not cool. Jesus.
No.
So looking forward to talking to Chef Scott, because it's going to be a lot of fun, because he's got a lot of insight on some things that's going to be a lot of fun to hear about, and just to hear, because here's one of the things I want to ask him, brother. These big companies are coming in our business now and taking all of our good cooks away from us. So us restaurant people and caterers and private chefs, we don't have them anymore. They're all getting hired away from us.
Well, yeah, to think office hours probably follow with the job, you know what I mean? If it's a tech company, be there for tech company hours.
Well, our good buddy Dimitri, you know, he took a job at 30 Rock working corporate, and he's making great money and has benefits and works for fresh ingredients every day. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Dimitri definitely has a good deal out there for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, listen, again, ladies and gentlemen, please, I'm going to say it one more time, then I'll stop running my mouth about this stuff. If you have 2 seconds, please do rate and review on iTunes, subscribe. It helps with the algorithm. Hey, you know what we can do? We can ask Chef, and he can explain what algorithm is, because I have no fucking clue what that shit means.
That would actually be awesome, because I have, like, a vague idea.
Do you? Well, we'll ask Chef, because maybe he can explain that, being he works at one of the largest tech companies in Silicon Valley. Silicon? Silicon. What do we say?
I think it's Silicon.
Silicon.
All right, we'll totally different.
All right, well, maybe it's two different things. I use silicone sometimes to seal up bathtubs. Is that same stuff?
Yeah, but not the same thing as silicon.
Oh, well, close enough. Close enough. I'm trying. I'm taking notes. So here's what we're going to do. If you can DM me, you guys, whether you and we'll pick a winner on Friday this week. So you have some time. Maybe you're downloading the show. You're not hearing it live. We'll pick a winner on Friday. If you could tell me where Chef works at, we'll send you out a brand new knife, man. So that'll be a lot of fun. Why don't we get down to it, man? I'm sitting here running my mouth about nothing, Dave. Why don't we get Chef Scott on here and chat with him a little bit, man? Because I know he's sitting there on hold listening to me run my mouth. That's the last thing he ever wants to hear. That's for damn sure, right? He's texting me. He just texted me what algorithm means.
Hey, Plum. This is Scott. How you doing, man?
There he is. Scott, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great. I am overlooking the summit in Big Sky, Montana. Just flew in from the Bay Area, and couldn't be better.
Nice.
Good to be on the show.
What are you doing out in Montana, bro?
So I got a call about 6 years ago from a good friend of mine, Fred Dame, who anyone in the wine business or anyone that's seen the Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 series on Netflix knows Fred. And Fred's the master of master psalms. And he called me. He's a good friend of mine and said, Scotty, I want you to do an event with me in the upcoming summer. And I said, okay, you got it. Whatever it is, wherever it is, I'll do it. Fred was instrumental in getting me the job at where I am today, and has been a great friend. And so we ended up doing this food and wine event for the last few years. This is the fifth year. And the reason I really wanted to do it, in addition to hanging out with some master psalms, we got Jay Fletcher, we got Fred Dame, we got Eugenio Jardim, we got some guest chefs coming out like Tracy Desjardins, Elizabeth Faulkner, and Kent Torrey of the Cheese Shop. For me, that's fun, and I love these guys and gals, but it was about our opportunity to cook with a bunch of culinary students in 16, 17 years old in high school in the ProStart game.
Nice.
And you and I met at ProStart Nationals, as you mentioned earlier. So for me, it's about cooking with these students and letting them kind of be mentored as we all were at our young age. And that's why I'm here. So we're here for the weekend, and then I'm back to the Bay Area on Monday morning.
So this is a thing right here, Dave. And Dave's he's been in the business a little while. I mean, he's coming up, and you know, you meet these good brothers like Scott here is a great example. Chef is a really good example of this, about how, you know, I've always said, dude, you know, those of us who have been here for a very, very long time, I think have a responsibility to help show these other kids the way. Because if you don't know where you came from, you'll never know where you're going.
True. Totally true.
And, you know, the ProStart program is an amazing way to do that. And I think, you know, like I said before, that's where we met. And what a great program that is. And I want to tell you a short story that I think you'll get a kick out of, Chef. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So ProStart weekend, ProStart Nationals, it's my first time ever going. I was humbled to be asked to be a part of it, you know, because I understand how important it is. So that week, I got sent an email by a PR company asking if I interviewed celebrity chefs. So first of all, immediately my buzzer goes off, because I've interviewed several of these quote-unquote celebrity chefs, and some of them who are really big. Even Guy Fieri himself would tell me that that's a shitty name to call somebody. Anyway, usually it's done by people who don't know what they're talking about. Long story short, this woman wanted me to interview her 15-year-old chef client who had never worked in a restaurant, had never had any culinary training, but came in eighth place on MasterChef. I mean, this is what's happening to our business right now. It's awful.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it a couple ways. It's like, it's great that the that our field is getting more and more notoriety and more fame. But I hear you that with the responsibility that we have as culinarians, we have to remember where we came from and what we're here to deliver. And part of it is getting out there and getting people excited, which is what the TV network and such has done. But it comes down to, you know, delivering true food, being true cooks, and doing what we do, whether it's delivering awesome food, responsible source food, and or mentoring the people for tomorrow. And to me, that's where I think you can bring both of those worlds together. But that's just me.
Yeah, my thought was this, though, brother. It was like, listen, I've got 25 years in this business. I have a degree from CIA. I've worked my ass off. Like, have you ever, you know, I want to say to the guy, have you ever worked in a restaurant and worked a 12, 14-hour day, and then turns out you have to stay even later because your dishwasher's out back doing coke? Like, you ever been through anything? Like, do you understand what this business is actually about? I mean, honestly, that's what I want to say to the guy. I was like, well, go get some experience. This is the same weekend, by the way. So after that happened, I was feeling – and look, I've done Food Network 12 times now. I've done tons of shows on ABC. I host my own TV show here in Connecticut. I've never once ever used the term celebrity chef and never will. I'm a chef. I cook food for a living. That's how I get paid. And I have my entire life. But this kid, brother – it drove me crazy. I went to ProStart kind of feeling down. I was like, God, this is what's happening to our business. And I get there, and it was just these kids, man. Like, these kids, they work their asses off. They learn things the right way. They get a good background for stuff to move forward. And you look at how many people were at this ProStart event, just even watching and supporting them. And, you know, we're talking to the kids after they let us do tastings and whatnot, and they're saying, yes, chef, and no, chef, and they're paying attention. It was just really, really awesome to see, you know, humbling to see after the email I had just exchange I just had with that PR group. It made me feel great. That's all. I guess that was the point of the story.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And you got to take the good and the bad with what we see in the industry. And I've seen it as well. There's a lot of individuals that get into the business for, I would say, the wrong reason. And ultimately, if you're going to get into hospitality, it's because you love hanging out with people and you love delivering great food and great experiences. And if you're doing it for just stardom and fame, you're definitely not focusing on the right things.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes people get in it for the wrong reasons and realize that they truly love it, and that's their actual passion. But no, I hear you for sure.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't know. I get very defensive almost about it because I just know how much it takes. Like, the word chef means a lot to me. Like, that's an earned title. Like, I've seen every episode of ER. Should I continue watching? You know, calling myself doctor now, is that what we're doing or no?
I mean, I hear you.
Hey, by the way, Chef, Chad Minton and David Frakes say hey to you. They want me to send you that message.
So I work with those guys back in San Francisco in the early 90s at the Ritz-Carlton. And I remember back in the day when we had that team, I looked at those guys and said, this is one of the absolute best team and family I've ever had. And what are the odds of us working together again ever in the future as a team? And of course, you know, the whole team never did, but we keep in touch due to social media, which has been super helpful. But Dave's a great friend of mine. I just talked to him a couple of days ago, and I've talked to Chad through social media. But it's so fun, and I'm sure, Plum, you can look back to your early days to think about that absolute epic team that you had that you would do anything for. It's almost like, you know, going out to battle. You know, it's like who the soldiers you'd go out with at any point. And I feel that those individuals and many more are just like the quintessential team that you'd want to be able to have on your side. So thanks for passing that on and to those guys as well. Love you.
Joined tonight by Chef Scott Giambastiani. Follow him on Instagram at SR Giambastiani.
Your radio voice is getting good, Dave. I like that. It's very like buttery, don't you think, Chef?
I don't know. I got a pretty good radio voice. I'll have to practice it.
You're doing well. You're doing really well with the radio voice. I like it. So listen, how did you get involved in the business, man? What got you started doing this whole thing?
Cooking in general, it's ironic. I mean, sadly, I've just been writing my father's eulogy. My father passed away a few weeks ago.
Oh, sorry.
And
to hear that,
thank you. And I'm not trying to be a downer, but it got me thinking about, you know, who I am as a person and how my parents have shaped me to who I am. And my dad was a meticulous perfectionist craftsman. He was a carpenter, son of a carpenter. And my mom was a very artsy woman, both perfectionists. And my mom, at an early age, when I was probably, I don't know, 10 or so, basically threw me in the kitchen. But before that, I think she knew to throw me in the kitchen because some of my first words out of my mouth were, can you eat it? So she'd be showing me things as I'm a kid, like, hey, Scott, this is a flower, or this is whatever, a bunny rabbit. And I would always be like, can you eat it? So, you know, she realized quickly, all right, this kid's got an appetite, put him in the kitchen. So I literally started cooking with my sister at about age 10. We were doing, like, you know, the family meal once a week, and it just kind of took off. It was the place that if you are a true cook, and you know, ode to Chad Minton on that one.
Sure. But
if you are a true cook, you know it, you feel it, you are always in the kitchen wherever you are. Anyone's house, you do, whether I was in junior high school, college, or just at my friend's house, that's the place you hang out. Nowadays, kitchens are actually being remodeled so that those are the focal points for people to have conversations. But that's how I started. It was cooking at home. I went to culinary school back in San Francisco in the early 90s. I worked a variety of restaurant and hotel gigs in the Bay Area where I was. And then I ended up at this amazing gig in Silicon Valley, which kind of goes to the ethos of what you're talking about, which is kind of giving back and paying homage to the craft. I was doing a charity event in Carmel on the weekend, because that's what we did as young cooks, is you gave up your days off if you had one. And I was doing this event, and I got a fellow employee from this company I'm at now that grabbed my business card, and her name is Eve. She's awesome. She loved the food. She loved what I was about. And, you know, you could strike up a conversation. Not all chefs can do that. So yeah. Chefs, you got to be able to have a conversation and to cook great food. You got to do both, work on that. And it was just a great opportunity to get from restaurants and hotels to corporate dining in the tech sector. And I mean, tech's got so much money and they're investing into so much of their great talent that food is the absolute best way that we found to return that investment back. And we're taking care of hundreds of thousands of people on a weekly basis. So it's been a lot of fun since.
Man, I mean, that's pretty cool to see just how much that gives back and what you guys are actually doing. But the interesting part to me is that even on a smaller scale, then we can make it more global when it comes to that sort of stuff. But these companies that even the ones like that you work at and smaller ones even that are around, how they hire... They're bringing in real chefs now. They're not just hiring like somebody like working a cafeteria. It's like a real, you know, like a great chef job that people like a career type situation.
Yeah, and you know what? I heard your intro on this, and you could look at it at one point in saying that tech is stealing a lot of chefs. But if you think about it, you know, the average chef is going to do 10 plus years in the restaurant hotel sector, and then figure out what they really want to do after that. You know, your knees start giving out. It's a hard way of life.
100%.
You don't get weekends off, right? It's rough. It's a really, really rough business. And the way that I'm looking at it, and again, I'm blessed to be in Silicon Valley, but these tech companies have been probably one of the biggest godsend for amazing chefs, and not just chefs, but restaurateurs and GMs in the area, because what we're able to do is put in our dues for the 10 plus years and then go to a environment where you know you've put in your chops and you're able to deliver the same quality and consistency and expectations that you would do in a restaurant, but you're doing this with sometimes weekends off, most often, and you're having somewhat of a normal life. I wouldn't say it's a 9-to-5 life, but just having a weekend or one week and day off is completely revolutionary to a chef that's worked, right, you know, 6-7 days, 15-16 hour days. It's unheard of. So I'm super fortunate to been able to find this, and I know that it doesn't fit for everyone. Not all culinarians want to embrace the algorithmic end of tech, and you have to if you want to be successful there. To a point, you've got to embrace change, and you've got to learn the systems that you are ultimately selling to the public. But for me, I'd always been fascinated by computers and information technology. Not that by any means I'm a whiz at it, but I am.
Brother, you
I'm
didn't
intrigued.
Even have Skype.
I'm intrigued. I didn't. Yeah. So for the listeners, I didn't have Skype up until about literally like 2 minutes before the call, and Plum's all nervous. I'm like, I got this. So that's all good.
Well, so dude, talk about a little bit more. All right, when you first started at this particular tech company, the largest one in Silicon Valley, when you started there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you heard, we're gonna do a giveaway, Dave. And Dave, you can tell him. You want to tell him the giveaway, Dave, or no? You want me to tell him?
Yeah, actually, if they can guess which company you work for, someone will be picked for an Ergo Chef knife.
And they're gonna DM me that. So just DM me your guesses.
That's
if you can tell me where Chef works, I'm gonna pick a winner by Friday, and I'll send you out a brand new knife from Ergo Chef.
That's any of my followers, I don't know if they qualify because they all know me. Not that I have that big of a following. I'm new to Instagram. Yeah, that's super cool. That's great.
Yeah, why not, man? I thought I'd make it fun. Let's make it fun. That was a last second decision. I called that in the ring. I was like, hey, let's make a contest out of it, because the knife guy was like, you should give away a knife or something. I was like, okay, so that's how we'll do it. But when you first started working there, when you went in, did you go in at a higher up position, or did you have to kind of work your way up to where you're at now? Because I mean, you're kind of top of the totem pole over there, right?
I've worked my way up in every job I've had. I started out in actually fast food when I was out of high school, at the bottom of the barrel. I ended up making a management position, believe it or not, at that age, at like 18 or 19. I moved to the Ritz-Carlton, where I started out at, you know, $6 an hour back then, which probably isn't much more now.
Right. Wait, Chef, hang on a second. So you went from fast food to the Ritz-Carlton?
Well, I didn't go exactly jump to jump, but I went fast food. I went to a few restaurants in the Bay Area. I worked under Brad Ogden and Cliff Plow over at the Lower Creek Inn in Marin, which was the restaurant to be. But, you know, what I'm getting at is you got to put in your dues and you got to check your ego at the door. And every time you walk into a new space, you know, you start at ground zero, at least in your head, in your mind, and you got to humble yourself. And I think I did the same approach at Google. I didn't have any sort of preconceived notions of what it could be or would be. And I ended up being very, very fortunate and having a lot of great time and great opportunity. But it's more so being surrounded by great people. Wherever you are, in restaurants, hotels, corporate food, wherever it is, it's about the opportunity you're given. A lot of good luck, a lot of good timing. I think it's also a lot of good karma.
Yeah.
And hopefully all of that works out. But yeah, I started out as a good opportunity as the replacement chef for the first chef of this company. And, you know, it's what you make out of it. So nothing was handed to any of us. I think it's just a matter of working hard and being, you know, resilient on what is important to you in life. And everyone's got different priorities and things that are important to them. And it's worked out really well. And so I moved from kind of being the executive chef to more of a operations manager to a global program chef. And this is my 12th year now. And I've moved back into operations, where it's just been amazing because I'm working with our vendor partner chefs, who are truly the shining stars, the diamonds that really bring the program to life. I'm not cooking anymore. I don't even want to claim to. I'm cooking this weekend for fun. But the chefs that bring our food to life every single day are the ones that I actually get to interact with more recently than I have in years. And to me, very similar to why I'm working with ProStart here at Big Sky at Vine and Dine, that's the important thing. It's, you know, looking at tomorrow's talent and knowing and accepting the fact that a lot of them are faster and smarter and better at their age than what we are. And that's a win for the industry. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Go for it.
We'll talk about that a little bit, man, because you talk about at different places and how there's other chefs that work there. So, you know, work at the company. Are there different like offices across the country that like are offices for this particular company, and like you kind of go and they have a chef there that's kind of doing food and stuff, or is it?
Yeah. So our company, and again, I've already dropped it if you've heard of where we are, but we have about 200 and I'd say 230 plus cafes around the world. We're in about 150 cities, 45 countries. The company's only 19, going on 20 years old, so we're a pretty small company considering
God,
our
that
age.
It? Is
but,
that it?
But global, yeah. But the global
Holy
impact has been huge. But from day one, the co-founders were very vested into taking care of their people, and a lot of that is through the culture of what the company does. And
I mean,
food
Chef,
is a
can we just
part
really
of the culture.
Quick, can we just say that 20 years ago, like that the particular that word that wasn't even a word, like that wasn't something that we would
exactly.
say, like.
Exactly.
Like in high
isn't that crazy?
Wow. I graduated high school in 1996. So, I mean, even it wasn't even. God, that's so crazy to think about. Dave, just think about that. That wasn't even a word when I was in high school.
Well, you know what's even more crazy? And think about this. Look in your back pocket and you pull out your cell phone and think about everything that's on your cell phone, whether it's the ability to access the web, do email, look at your calendar, write appointments, set reminders, set a clock, take a picture or video, upload it to anyone in the world. You can do all of this in one device. And obviously our company is priding themselves not just on the ability to provide the platform of that, but as well as the ability to find all those different services. So I find that, as well as what you just mentioned, Plum, super intriguing, because we're never going to be in this era ever again. This is the sort of things you're going to be telling your kids and grandkids about, that you were in this era where all of this kind of came about. So I think it's super exciting. I mean, obviously we have our challenges as every organization and company and field does, but it's super fun, and I'm in it at this point, you know, going 30 years in the industry, to accept the fact happily that my role is to help foster the talent that's coming in, set clear expectations as I was given as a young culinarian, and I'm sure you are. The times are different. We're doing this differently now.
Sure.
I'm sure we can talk about that. But
what we're doing right here is something that was never around when you and I were coming
into this
business.
Correct, but I think setting the expectations to younger culinarians, kind of going to what you were saying earlier, what kind of drove you mad is we've got a lot of people that want to be in the industry, and we have a lot of people that maybe shouldn't be in the industry. And I think it's totally fair to let people know that if you're going to come into this industry and in the sector you're looking for, there are certain responsibilities you need to deliver on. And I use this analogy a lot with my chefs. It's that you are the modern day superheroes. That apron becomes a cape, and that cape means you do have the power to put anything on the menu that you really want to some point. But you need to think about that responsibility. Is it sustainable? Is it environmentally conscious? Is it healthy where it needs to be? Anything you put in front of people, especially in a program where they're not paying for food or if it's subsidized, you need to think about that, and you need to deliver on that. And I don't think enough chefs, especially in restaurants, think about that as nut, because they're more so focused on the bottom line, the reviews, the ratings, and their food cost. And that's all important. Right. But I also think that you need to be very, very conscious on what you are putting on the plate, because everything has a price, whether you see it up front or not. And that price might be the impact on the environment, health, et cetera. So off the soapbox, but I think that's where it's super important for us as somewhat seasoned individuals, not that we're on walkers yet, to be able to really deliver that message in a positive way and in a fun way, so they're still inspired.
Man, that's really you're right. I think the hearing the whole thing is inspiring in itself, especially when you have a guy as yourself, because you're such a great talker, and you probably give these guys, you know, a little inspiration to do stuff like that. Because you guys are in 150 cities, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and how many? Like, it's not just in our country here. You guys are all over the place.
Yeah, we're in about almost 50 countries around the world, which is pretty exciting, because the impact of not just tech, but the impact of amazing food programs in tech around the world means that anyone that wants to be a chef or a culinarian or front of house manager can and should work in a hardcore restaurant to really earn their chops. And then the opportunity to move to a tech sector or any other sectors that are doing something similar, where food is such a highly valued benefit or perk, is a great opportunity for, you know, you put your chops in 5-10 plus years. And I would advise that for anyone. I think anyone coming to our environment without doing that first is going to have a really difficult time if and when they want to move to the restaurant sector. And I think everybody should. But it's an interesting time for sure, as you know, when we started cooking a few years back, not that we're that old, it was a different time, and it's definitely evolving.
So you mentioned responsibly planning a meal. How much – or a menu, sorry. How much leeway do these chefs have? Is it each location, or are there mainstays throughout, you know, 150 locations throughout? Do they kind of get to do what they want?
Yeah, I would call it, as our F&B director calls it, it's freedom within the framework. So what we try to do is imagine a picture frame of all the things that we believe in and why those are important. And we spend so much time talking to our chef partners and our culinarians for them to understand why. Not what we want you to do, but why this is important. And they fully get that. Once you understand why we do what we do, then the center of the plate or the canvas in the middle of that frame is essentially free game. So we want to ensure that our program is balanced and consistent from office to office, in the sense of knowing that you feel like you're in a blank office, you know. But at the same time, we're not saying you have to use this recipe or you have to serve chicken 4 days a week. It's more about, we want a balanced approach. We want to ensure that we're investing into our user group to make sure that their performance is their short and long term, that they're really using food as a tool for creating community, fostering performance, enjoyment, all of those good things. Obviously, it's a great retention and attraction tool. But the chefs themselves have so much flexibility. The challenge is, if you don't give them any framework, they have too much flexibility. I mean, Plum, you've done this. It's like when you walk into a grocery store or a farmer's market, if you've got no idea what you want to put on the menu, it's almost overwhelming. Versus if I give you 20 ingredients and say, this is our basic philosophy, go this route, it's so much easier. And I think that's where we've set up success for our chefs. And it's the same way we do it at work.
So what are some of those philosophies? Like, what are some of those core things that the chefs have to kind of stick with or go by, or, you know, as far as it goes at the company?
Yeah, it's an, I mean, Yeah, it's a great question. So the way that I would frame it up real simply is, in most restaurants, you're cooking for individuals that might come to your venue once a week, once a month, or once a year for a special occasion.
Right.
We're catering to individuals that are eating 2 to 2.5 times per day, Monday through Friday. So when you're doing that sort of food, you have to think much differently on how food is used for pleasure, food is used for fuel. Food is very personal, so how do you give people choice but not too much choice, because too much of a good thing can lead to overindulgence and waste. So we look at this very holistically. How do we ensure that we are making it as easy as possible for people to make the better choice? And the better choice could be ensuring proper portion control. It could ensure that we're using, you know, seasonality beyond belief. There's a variety of things that we focus on to ensure that there's a balance of items, from whole grains to fruits to vegetables to lean proteins. But from an individual lens, everybody, including all of us on the call, love to customize or personalize the food in the way we like it. I was just having dinner tonight with the Master Somms, and one of them's like, I'd like some chili flakes, or I want some hot sauce, or I want some vinegar. And it's the same thing in our environment. Everybody wants to be able to kind of tweak their food the way it works for them. So we provide a platform of ingredients and dishes that work very well together, that are seasonal, that are properly portioned, that are cooked just to order, just in time, that are performance foods yet delicious. So we're not going to have you, you know, eat 2 pounds of food and take a nap. We want to be able to have people, you know, be productive and feel good after they've had a breakfast, lunch, or dinner, but allow them to kind of tweak the experience in ways that is important to them. So we're looking at a variety of means, whether it's waste mitigation, whether it's, you know, ensuring that all of our products are maintaining our procurement guidelines. There's every single lens you could think of we're looking through. And have we nailed it? Of course not. But knowing that we have a clear stance on what's important to us and why, it educates and informs our chefs in a way that they may not necessarily see in all restaurants. I think ultimately most chefs think about being sustainable, but if there's so many other lenses that we look through to ensure that we're providing the absolute best experience that we can with the dollars that we have, and all of our chefs are held to a very strict budget. So they're truly walking away. Yeah, they're truly walking away as restaurant operators. It's not, oh, you know, this place has tons of money. It's like, no, you've got a very strict budget. You have to maintain the best experience based off the dollars you're given, and you have the flexibility and freedom to figure out how you're going to spend that money in a way that's going to cater to the user group you have. And each user group, because we're a large company, very, very diverse with our products, each user group has different needs, wants, likes, and dislikes. And like any user in a restaurant or in our environment, they're very vocal. So we know what they want, what they don't want, and we're able to our best, really try to kind of custom tailor the experiences. So it's still within what we consider our program globally, but localized where it needs to happen.
So, all right, so how about this, though? This is a three-part question, but it's an easy one. One, is there a New York office, like in the city? Obviously, the answer's got to be yes, right?
Several.
Okay, good, good, good. Two, I've won awards for my pop-up dinners. Can I do a pop-up dinner inside of inside of this particular company's office?
I will make an introduction for you offline. No
Ooh.
Problem.
Oh, really? I was kind of kidding. That would be amazing. But three, when it comes to this budgeting, you talk about having the money and whatnot. Are these guys, these chefs, are they held to a food cost? Are they said, listen, you got to stay at, you know, 35%, 32%? I mean, or is it more just based on here's how much budget here is for the month, stick in that, you know, stay in that number?
They're held to an overall number, and they're held to overall targets within categories. So it depends on where we are across the world, because food might be a little higher priced just for cost of goods in certain areas. Labor might be less, like overseas. So that varies. But ultimately, yes, they're held for every single category, target, and goal. And they have to forecast out, and they have to meet that within a very small percentage. So I say that with not just confidence, but also it makes me happy to know that we're turning out operators that have a financial acuity when they're leaving our organization, which even a lot of restaurants, chefs might have that, but a lot of the line cooks and sous chefs may not be exposed to it. And I think that's where corporate food in our sector is able to deliver on really the best of all those worlds. You're getting a great schedule, you're delivering a great product, you're interacting with some of the brightest minds in the world, but you're also obtaining the skills that you need to be successful should you or at some point desire to do your own thing or need to have that skill set to be successful in the real world.
And you're a family guy, right? I mean, you have a family. I'm out in out in the Bay Area, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get the lifestyle where you can still get to spend time with them and be with them as much as you
can,
right?
Yeah, I'm laughing because I look back to when I first joined the company, and I had been so used to working holidays and weekends that I had joined the company, and the first thing I did is I did a dinner for a bunch of users for like 50, 75 people for Valentine's Day, and I didn't have to. I was off after lunch. And it was just out of habit that you do this because this is what you do for your guests.
Well, you got extra money too. Like, I mean, that's just what, hey, it's a chance to make some extra bucks. That's what we do.
We didn't make money at all. We just kind of gave it away. And it was kind of a cost of, like, the users paid for the food, but it was just like cost neutral. But what's funny is my wife looks at me like the day after. She goes, I thought you were off that evening. And I go, 15 years of not knowing the difference. So, yeah, I mean, nowadays, you know, weekends are sacred. Weekends. Unless we're doing events like this or, you know, auction dinners or things like that, which we all do pretty much. Yeah. Weekends and evenings, it's, you know, but I'm 40 something years old now. So,
yeah,
you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, it's kind of expected, or at least it was when we were starting out. I'd be interested to talk to some of the younger culinarians that are as hungry as we are and where we were, and seeing how that shifted. And maybe you've got some insight to that. I don't know how cooks nowadays are thinking differently. I mean, I see them coming in the door, but I don't manage them as directly. Yeah, it's definitely different.
You know, you find some diamonds in the rough. Like, Dave is definitely one of those guys. Dave's not super young in the business, but he's younger than we are in the business, and just took a job. It's no secret, Dave, we can talk about this, right? Just took a job.
Yeah, we can go.
Yeah. At Mohegan Sun. Dave lives in Detroit, chef, and he's moving from Detroit to Mohegan out here in Connecticut. And he's taking a job at, you know, the Crown Jewel restaurant Tuscany by Todd English. And he's going in like as a lead line guy, so he doesn't have guys underneath him. But this is a guy who busts his ass and works his ass off. But you know, that's what you're supposed to do when you're that age. You know, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's how you learn your chops and you see what's there. And that's the business, you know, deciding who's going to stay and who's going to go. You know, I think much like you and I are probably similar. And we got into this business. I mean, I got in because it was a job. It paid my bills, and then I kind of got to where I didn't really know how to do anything else. It's all I did, so I went to school for it. And you know, it's just kind of happens. You know, for you, like you said before, you've been cooking such a kid, and you loved it, and you know, and it's kind of led you to where you are now. But you know, guys like Dave here with us, his journey is just starting, and he's super excited and leaving. And Dave, just talk about that a little bit, man, because you work in a French restaurant right now. Like, talk about the different types of people that are there.
We've kind of changed the menu. We're more of an American bistro now, but it's definitely an eye-opening experience to work in a hotel. It's a different beast from the other places I've worked. I've done country clubs and breweries and restaurants, and then once I got into a whole different field of that, the hotel kind of taught me a whole different aspect of the business. Honestly, there is no, the only way you can say no is if we don't have it. There is no last call for food like some breweries and places do. It's cook until the last person comes through the door. So,
but I mean, as far as the work ethic of the people who work there, there are some who are good and some who, I mean, I think the most who aren't. You know, I did an event recently and I had two people working for me. This was an event chef for Lululemon and Whalebone Magazine, and I had two people working for me who I wish weren't. I looked over at one point, chef, and he was sitting down on the coolers on the beach. Like, and this is the middle of the event. Like, why are you sitting down? And people are getting up, getting their own drinks. I lost my mind. I was like, you have to be kidding me. This is crazy talk.
Yeah.
It's just how much the business is changing. But, you know, you find places like, you know, where you work that are kind of giving hope to people that, hey, there is a little bit more to this, man. You know, I stopped working in restaurants because I don't want to work those crazy hours. I want to be able to say, hey, you know, I don't mind working a Saturday, but Sundays are, that's my family day. I'm with my kids. You know, that's what I wanted. And I figure after 25 years of doing it, you know, I deserve that. And so I'm fortunate enough that I have a position and doing what I do that I can do that now. But yeah, not everybody can find those sort of gigs, man. So what's the best way you think to go around, you know, if you've got the experience, you've got a degree, you've been doing things the right way, but you're ready to look for a change and look for something in this kind of corporate atmosphere? What's the best way to find one of those, you think?
Well, whether it's corporate atmosphere or just finding whatever it is that's right for the individual, I mean, I'm going to say it again. I've been extremely lucky and fortunate, but at the same time, I think that I've had a very specific way of looking at my career from an early age. And my parents have always been perfectionist go-getters and never quit. And I think that that's helped me shape who I am today. But my advice for for those that are out there is, first off, follow your heart. Don't do anything that someone's telling you to do if you don't believe it. If you don't want to do it, find what you want to do and be happy. And if that means you're going to be a jeweler or whatever, you know, get in the business that makes you happy. But for those that love being around food and people and making people happy through food and food experiences, hospitality, whether it's being a chef or GM, you don't need to figure that out. Just if you know you like food and serving people, start with that. And what I've always done, and I'll go back to you and Dave on this one, is, you know, what have you done in your early days to be successful? And, you know, what I started off with is I walked into restaurants, the best restaurant. Always start with the absolute best in your backyard, and find the right time to approach the chef or the owner. Do your research, know what you're talking about, and walk into the doors. And if you have to volunteer a day or half a day, whatever's legal nowadays, do what you need to do to get your foot in the door and make a good impression. Study, church, and act like you own it, like you want it. And that's kind of how I've started. And I've always just held myself to that standard of searching for the best, surround myself with the best people, and don't take no for an answer, and give it 150%. And that might sound a little corny and a little cliche, but that's been my approach. And I think that, you know, you probably have some similarities as do others out there. But whatever it is, it's be true to yourself and do what you love. Another, if you're loving it, you can't really consider it work.
That's very true, and I feel like that now, finally. That's the God's honest truth. I truly feel like that now, doing what I do. And you guys, we've kind of danced around a little bit where Chef works, because Chef, he's here doing a personal favor for me as a good brother. So we can't say, because his PR team, you know, it's a lot of stuff you have to go through and do things the right way, but we're not saying it. But the fun part is, if you can figure out where Chef Scott works and what he does, just tell us where he works. You can DM that to me. We're going to pick a winner on Friday, and that guy's going to win a brand new, or that guy or girl's going to win a brand new chef knife from Ergo Chef from me. We're going to ship it out to you. So if you can figure it out yet, where Chef Scott works, you can DM me, and we'll pick a winner on Friday to get a brand new knife. And these are fantastic knives, Chef. They're knives that I use every single day of the week, made locally. They're awesome, just great knives. I mean, I talk about them all the time, and I got rid of my expensive Shuns, and now I use Ergo Chef exclusively. And Dave, you can speak to the quality of those knives as well.
Oh, definitely. It's same here. It's the only knife I use. The Santoku. Those two are my favorite, honestly, from them.
There you go. So if you figured out where Chef Scott works, send me a DM, and we're going to pick a winner on Friday. So, Chef, let me ask you this, man. So you've been doing this with this company for a very long time now, all over the world. How often do you get the chance to travel out of the country and go to some of these, you know, other offices that are in different countries?
So I've been with them for about 12 years, and for about five of those years, maybe six, I got a good amount of travel in. And I would say, I'm glad you brought this up. Not the fact that I was able to travel, but life is full of compromises and full of choices. And for any culinarian out there, and this is probably one of the best messages I can give anyone, is any opportunity you have to travel and get out there and meet new people, 100%. Find new places and explore the culture, don't use the cost of travel as an excuse. There's so many great people out there. If people are visiting your hometown and they're a foreigner and they don't know the area, and you befriend them, they're going to return that favor when you go see them wherever that city is, whether it's in the US or abroad. And yeah, I've been to most of the major cities around the world, and I've had the very rare ability to do so, but I've also tried to make the best out of it. I've made amazing friends, I've made amazing colleagues. I think part of the piece you wanted to talk about, Plum, was the whole social media movement. And you know, you can spend your day on that, missing life and just spending all day on social media, which I don't advise. But building out your network of key people that are important, you know, having 5,000, you know, friends on a specific network is not a goal. Having key people that you truly want to keep in touch with and share experiences, and when you do travel to these sites, leverage their hospitality, and oftentimes, you know, crash with them, or they'll put you in touch with someone that you can get a room with. Those are the sort of experiences that I would never trade for a second. So yes, getting into the major cities around the world has been a lot of fun, but any major city is pretty much any major city. They're all about the same. What I would say is, if you get there, really go to where the locals go, do your research, get on that search engine, whatever you use, and figure out where
go. I use Ask Jeeves. That's what I still use. Ask Jeeves. That's still no. Hey, but listen, I want to tag what you're saying there, Chef, a little bit, because I think it's one of the things I think a lot of people miss, man. And you know, listen, like I said before, I've done a lot of TV shows and all that good stuff, and you start to learn, and competitions all across the country, and you start to learn that you know, it's not actually about the competition, or it's not about the TV show. It's about making these friends and making these contacts, and you know, because you meet some good friends, you make some good brothers, and you know, you hang out with them. And you know, for instance, you and I met at ProStart, and you know, I reached out to you today, and here we are. Like that's the people you meet, and you know, I think you'll find in our business, it's always that weird with chefs. It's that weird like first 2 minutes where you kind of feeling each other out, you're not sure what the story is here, and everybody kind of wants to be the alpha, but in the end we're all just douchebag chefs and we're going to be fine. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's kind of like
we're all human, man. Yeah, we all started at the same time at some point. We all have the same challenges, and you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, whatever you want to call it. It's and you realize that real quickly with people. There's a lot of egotistical folks out there in any business, and you know, sometimes they're great people but just slightly insecure. But a lot of the time, you know, when you find those key individuals that you can just connect with and be real, I think that's one of the coolest things in this business. And that's when I go back to my team at the Ritz-Carlton with Dave and Chad and others, is that you found individuals that were there for the same reason. We were all making $6 an hour. We were all fighting to survive living in San Francisco at the time. And that was years ago when it was more reasonable to live there. But we were doing it for the same reason, is we wanted to deliver on a great experience. We wanted to build our resume. We wanted to work for the best. It was Gary Danko at the time in the city. And you do that for those reasons. And if you're not doing it for that reason, then I think going back to it earlier, you're probably not doing it for the right reasons. Be true to yourself. And why are you in the business? Because, you know, we need solid people with great values to be leaders. There's plenty of people that don't need to be leaders that can still be great culinarians, but we need, you know, the next generation of leaders to help us as we were helped as young students.
Joined tonight by Chef Scott Giambastiani. Follow him on Instagram at srgiambastiani.
There you go. And listen, I think you're so right about that. It's just understanding that. Listen, we're all in this business together. You know, the business is gonna. It's been here before we got here. It's gonna be here long after we're long gone. So, you know, it works out better to take care of each other and help each other out. I think that's kind of an important key with it. Like, dude, next time you come to New York City, I'm expecting a phone call.
I love it.
I got to take you out and buy you a beer.
I'll be out there in a few months, so I'll definitely let you know when I'm there.
No doubt.
Challenges when you're doing these damn business trips is you've got like an hour of free time. So we'll see if we can make it work. Nothing else, we'll just do another Skype call.
Yeah. Dude, we could put down some shots in an hour. Trust me, I can do some damage in an hour.
All right.
Hey, listen. So when you head back out to San Francisco, out to the Bay Area, and you go to work, what's a day to day for you these days out there when you go to work? Like, what's like a regular, you know, Tuesday for Chef Scott out of his job at the biggest?
Yeah, so I'm not holding the chef title there, even though a lot of the folks there still call me chef. It was funny. I ran into a sous chef now. He just got promoted. And when I hired him 12 years ago at this place that I'm at now, he was a dishwasher. And I use this analogy often because this is one of the rare businesses where you can come in as a dishwasher and end up being a chef in one of these restaurants. He's been there for a few years, but perfect English, super appreciative of the opportunity I gave him when I pulled him out of dish to prep to now chef. But a typical day, I would say, would be a balance of dealing with our stakeholder requests. And that would mean essentially when we are owning, operating, or opening new venues or cafes or any sort of a food experience spot, what are the expectations that the clients have and how are we delivering on those? And so a lot of it is just communication, over communication, a lot of personal relationships. Then there's a section of just the emails, which never stop. But the most important part is getting out from under the laptop and getting in front of all of the users and the culinarians and getting into the units and just walking through. And I spend a couple hours a week where I'll just walk through the units and I'll walk through with either the chef or the district manager and I'll just play the game. What do you see? What do I see? And we just look around and we share observations on what we can do differently to improve the overall experience, because ultimately we are investing in the brightest people in the world with some of the best perks that the company provides. And we want to do this to the best of our ability, because food is more than just a perk. It's something that sustains us. It pleasures us. It's, you know, one of our Maslow needs, right? So my day is ensuring that all of those things are balanced in a way that leave our employees feeling energized, recharged, happy, inspired, whether they're taking a cooking class, whether they're coming and sitting down at the chef's table with us and talking about food like we're doing now, whether we're bringing in interns from the local high schools. There's so much that we do, playing in the gardens together. There's not an average day because nothing's average about what we do and where we do it, but that's kind of a snapshot of what we do. And like I said earlier, I don't think of it as work. We love what we do. You can tell when people love what they do, like I can tell on this call. And that's what makes it kind of stimulating day after day to go in there and take on new challenges. So appreciate you having me on the call.
Oh, of course, man. Listen, I got another question just coming here on the Instagram from Chef Trice. That's D Redhead coming in. And it's a weird question, but I have to ask because everybody they want to know. And that's the kind of guys that check this program out. What is a chef coming in there, like at a sous chef, is there a starting salary range that they would start at? Like, what would they kind of be at for that? Because listen, that's a cook question if I've ever heard one. First thing you ask,
yeah. So I'm gonna slightly dodge the number because the number's not important. So to D Redhead, what I will tell you is that in Silicon Valley in the Bay Area, all of the tech companies are paying at, if not way above, the competitive wage that you get in most restaurants. And that's where it's challenging for restaurants, because restaurants sometimes can't afford to pay what we're paying. Sure. But I'll tell you, at the same time, we're working you just as hard, if not harder, and we're investing into you with skill sets that hopefully you're going to be leading with to make you that much more valuable when you leave. So the reality is, if you're going to the Bay Area or if you're going to where these tech companies are in the big cities, if you can't afford to live in the city because you're in a big city, that's the first thing you want to look at. So if you've got your means, you know, you've got a buddy or a friend or a relative that you can live with and grab a room, that's the first place you start, because just making the rent at times is very, very challenging. And anyone, including myself, living in the Bay, that's our number one gripe and living there. But you're also living in one of the most beautiful areas in the world. And so wherever you are, the living wage, it will be competitive, but it's also about, you know, what do you need to be happy in your way of life? You know, if you need to take a vacation every year and you need to have a fancy car and whatever it is, those are priorities that you need to think about. And if you're just there to learn and absorb and be a sponge and check out different sites around the world and meet new people and work with different chefs, then the tech sector definitely has an opportunity for you. But that's where we have stages. You know, come and do a stage, shoot me up on Instagram, and we can put you in touch with our organizations to see if you're a right fit. It's like buying a shoe. You know, you put on the shoe, and if it doesn't feel right, you try another one. It's the same thing here. If it doesn't feel right, then try something else, because the last thing we want is for you to be unhappy in your role, in your job. So, you know,
I mean, there was definitely, I think in there was something that was really interesting that I like to hear there. And Chef, I appreciate your time. We're going to get you out of here just a minute, but you said people could hit you up on the Instagram. And is it one of those scenarios where you guys are kind of always looking for good people?
Well, we're absolutely looking for great people. I'll tell you, it's a very competitive landscape where we are.
You didn't like my adjective.
Yeah, I did love it. I did love it. I'm gonna text you in a second. we love bringing in great people, but I'm going to be honest that we get a lot of people looking for opportunity in the food sector as well as the company, and the majority of people, for whatever reason, may not make the cut for whatever reason. So we are looking for the top percentage of people for the right values, the right skill set. And even if we're hiring at a basic skill set, we're looking for people, as I would say, is what mom and dad taught you, is the kind of the building blocks that we want to look at. We can teach you how to cook after that, but it's, you know, all the things you talked about in the earlier part of the show, which is what any chef would look for. So whether you're looking to be in the front of the house, the back of the house, always looking for great people. You can obviously hit me up on that. I'll put you in touch with our hiring team. But I'll tell you at the same time, you know, typos on a resume, no phone number on a resume, you know, not showing up on time, it's going to last about 2 seconds.
Oh, I love this. I love the red flags. This is such good stuff. So phone number's a big one for you, huh?
Well, if you can't call them, then why even bother?
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, I hate to say that. It's like the most basic of basic things. But yeah, like, I would have never thought of not having that perfected on my resume in my early days. And that the fact that I have to specify I don't have a typo or you know, don't have a voicemail that says, what up, you know, just come on. We're professionals.
Don't email me at bigballer76blunt at Gmail. Yeah.
Well, the last thing I'll say, because I see this all too often, is the social media networks that you're going to put on your resume might not want to be the ones that your buddies and friends are hanging out on. So build out your LinkedIn or professional account, put that on your resume. Because again, it's competitive, and we want to make sure that we're bringing in the best people for that. So,
good call on that, Dave. Tell them where they can learn more information about Chef Scott.
You can check out Chef Scott Giambastiani on Instagram at srgiambastiani.
And of course, don't forget, you guys, we're giving away that knife on Friday. DM me where you think what company you think Chef Scott works for, and I'll give you another big hint there. Like we said earlier, it wasn't even a word 20 years ago, and now it's a word we all use all the time. and it doesn't start with a Y. How about that? Chef, man, we appreciate your time, dude. You're a really fun guy to talk to. I could talk to you for a long time. You're an inspiring guy to talk to. And as a chef in this business who hires people to do catering work and whatnot, I thank you for all the hard work that you're putting in on the pro start level and helping teach these young culinarians to get them on the right path and show them the right direction.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
You are the man, brother. Hey, we'll touch base soon, all right?
All right, take care.
See you, buddy. All right, there he goes. The one, the only chef, Scott Giambastiani. What a great guy, man. He is awesome. I love chatting with him. I love talking to him. I just, you know, guys like him who go in and help people and help our business and teach our business and find people who just show them there's hope. Like, hey, there's hope in this business for everybody, I guess is my whole point. Like, you don't just go in here and get scared that there's not going to be anything else. You know, it's going to be working in this business forever, and I'm not going to be able to try anything different, and I'm not going to learn anything else. I'm going to work 75,000 hours a week, that sort of thing. You know, it's one of those things. Dave, you heard me. I lost you. I called you back there. I think everybody heard it ringing. I was trying to make it a surprise, but it didn't work.
All right, you got me back.
There you go. But it's. I was just saying, it's great to have someone like him on to come on and kind of drop a little knowledge about how, you know, basically there's more to life than just having to work on the line. Like, there's other options there, but getting that experience, again, is paramount.
Definitely. Like, pretty much towards, I want to say last 25 minutes, everything he was saying, I'm just kind of sitting here, like, smiling. He's like, yeah, if you can, go travel, cook somewhere, crash on somebody's couch, do this, get the experience.
Boy, does that sound familiar, huh?
That's why I was smiling. It definitely, I was like, okay.
Wow. And you know, I ain't trying to toot my own horn, but that's not the first time you heard that shit.
Right. No, it's definitely not. And then I finally started doing it. And
yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Well, that's the coolest part about it, man. I love hearing stories from him. And like I said, we're going to give away a knife this week. So if you think you know where Chef Scott works, send me a DM, put it in there, tell me where he works, and we'll get you in the running, and we'll pick a winner on Friday. I mean, it's pretty wide open now. I mean, everybody. I mean, Dave, you have to know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can give them a hint if they don't know.
Let's hear it.
It's a mathematical term, actually.
Oh, a mathematical term, huh? I'm worried you're just going to say the word now.
No, definitely not going to.
All right. So what's the mathematical? This is worrying me a little bit here.
No, that is the name of the company is a mathematical term.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm giving you a ding there. So the name of the company is a mathematical term.
Okay, terrific.
There we go. All right. But we can't say it because that would be bad, right?
Correct.
There you go. Make sure you check out the end of the show, Dave. It's sound effects all over the place. listen, so I want to announce, too, on here, man, something really fun has happened. A press release going out tomorrow. I'm doing TV for this tomorrow, man. We're super, super excited. Plum Love Foods Live is happening. Live, that's right, live on Tuesday in front of a live crowd. That's Tuesday, August 28th in Danbury, Connecticut. If you're in the tri-state area when it comes out, let us know if you want to come. We'll get you some seats. It's all free. Our friend Chaney from Fisher's Island Lemonade is coming. Dude, that's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love Fisher's Island Lemonade.
Yeah. So she's going to be there doing some tasting. But we're doing a live barbecue roundtable. And the one, the only one of the barbecue, I like to say one of the barbecue, I can't think of the name. What's that thing where they
like
etch all the presidents? They etch all the presidents in the mountainside. What is that called?
An advisor?
No, where they at the end here, it's like that place you can go where all the presidents are etched into the mountainside. Why can't?
Oh, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. One of the Mount Rushmores. One of the faces on Mount Mushmore. Mount. Let me try that again. One of the. Hang on a second. There we go. Gave myself a buzzer. I did not do good there. One of the faces on the barbecue Mount Rushmore here in our country, Stretch Rumner, is going to be there. He is a good friend with the one and only and guest of the show, Guy Fieri. So we're doing a barbecue roundtable with Stretch Rumner in front of a live crowd. There's going to be food. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be some demos. It's going to be from 7 to 9. That is going to be August 28th at Ergo Chef Knives. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. We're looking forward to it. The show's going to be in front of a live crowd. Stretch is going to be there. He has this, like, double-decker touring bus, bro. It's insane. It has, like, smokers in the back. It's fucking crazy. And he's going to be there. Dave, you're going to make it, right?
Yeah, I'm going to head out right after orientation.
There you go. And it should be a great show. So more details on that coming up here. But we'll post all about it and get it out. We're announcing it tomorrow, but I'm announcing it here officially. But that show's going to sell out. It's a free ticket, too, Dave. That's the whole thing. Free ticket. There's going to be some cocktails. There'll be some good food specials from our buddy Chef Zip. That's Kerry Favreau. He's going to have some specials at his truck, which is a barbecue truck. Stretch is going to be there. Live show. It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
I'm excited.
It's really a Tuesday night, 7 to 9. Fucking why not, dude?
Yeah, free ticket. I mean, what are you guys doing? Show up. Come on.
Just come out. And we're only doing 25 tickets, though. 25 is the most, is all we're going to do. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. There'll probably be a knife giveaway happening that night, too. So,
nice.
Plum Love Foods live. We say live twice? I don't know. It's in front of a live show, but we're already live. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Big shout out tonight and thanks, of course, to Chef Scott Giambastiani for coming on here. He is the head of. What do they call it? Head of operations, food operations for a giant tech company out in the Silicon Valley. I think it's the largest tech company in the Silicon Valley, Dave.
I would believe that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's the largest tech company out there. So big shout out to him for coming on the show tonight, man. He's one of those guys, like I said, it gives you inspiration to know that there's more to this business than just slaving away on a line or calling tickets all night or writing prep lists or doing banquet orders, you know, just doing all, there's more to it. There's so much more you can do. And he's a very inspirational guy and a very positive guy. And I always love that. You know, I love positive people.
For sure. You're all about positivity, bro.
That's it. That's what it's got to be. We got freaking short lives here, man. We got to take advantage of it. That's how it works. Well, Dave, thank you for being on the show tonight, man. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, brother.
All right. There you go, you guys. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please rate, review, and subscribe on them Instagrams. And on those iTunes, we really appreciate it. It does a lot for the algorithm. You know, I still never asked him what algorithm meant publicly. He's texted me, but whatever, right? We'll figure it out next time.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, for the one, the only Dave Borden, I'm Chef Plum. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. That hour went fast, didn't it, Dave?
That was a really fast hour.
There you go. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. I'll see you next Monday. Peace.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.